This morning, reading Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, Martin, thank you very much indeed. Please do keep Psalm 62 in front of you. It's on page 579 in the Church Bibles. Next Sunday, we're going to be beginning a sermon series in the book of Romans, which will take us through the autumn. Today, we conclude our summer series in the Psalms as we explore Psalm 62, this profoundly helpful psalm together. Let's pray as we begin. Our loving Father, we thank you for your word. We humble ourselves before you as our Saviour and our God. Lord, as we reflect on your word, please teach us of yourself and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please challenge us in our lives and encourage us and build us up in our faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'd like to start by showing you a picture of this castle, a beautiful castle perched on a mountain top. And I'd like to ask, where do you go to feel safe? Where do you go, or what do you do to feel safe and secure? We human beings have a deep need for security. We long to be safe and to feel safe. And as we live in this fallen world, there are endless things which shake our security. It can be change. Some of us are starting in a new school year or even in a new school altogether next week. And perhaps we don't know for sure who will be in our class, who our teachers will be, or if we're a teacher, who our pupils will be. Some of us will be starting new jobs. At times where we don't know exactly what the future is going to be like, how can we feel safe and secure? It's not just change, of course. There's also health. Many of you know I'm waiting for an operation to remove my gallbladder. I feel fine, although I'm on a very strict diet, and I'm dying to have a packet of crisps, and I'm hoping that they're going to be able to remove it as soon as possible. Hugely thankful for everyone's prayer and support. This minor thing has made me acutely aware that there are many in our church family, beloved brothers and sisters, who are facing really serious health challenges. At times when our health is failing, how can we feel safe and secure? Could be change, could be health, could be finances. Many in our town, many in our church family are facing an acute cost of living crisis as the prices are going up and up. There are others in our church family who are seeking asylum in this country, just waiting to find out if they have leave to remain. We'll be thinking a little later this month about how we can use our harvest giving to help those in need. But the question this morning is, how can we feel safe and secure at times where we're not sure how we will feed and house ourselves and our families? And then for others of us, it may be relationships that make life so hard. The words and actions of family and friends. How can we feel safe and secure when our relationships are cutting to our hearts? In this fallen world, we all have a deep need for security. And people try to find that safety in all sorts of places, in their work and their abilities, in their family and their friends, in their money and their resources, or in escape, in drink or in drugs. What about you? Where do you go to feel secure? Well, Psalm 62 was written some 3,000 years ago by King David, and it comes to us as God's word. And as we read this psalm, we see that David has found ultimate security. He has found what we're all looking for. And he wrote this song to celebrate that security and to show us how we can find it too. And the psalm comes in five parts, and each of those parts helps us find the security that we long for and that we need. So first of all, David tells us, ultimate security is found in God alone. Ultimate security is found in God alone. Look at these beautiful words in verses 1 and 2. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. See, David's security is found in the reality of God. He sings, God is my fortress. Like that mountain castle, God is keeping him safe from attack. He sings, God is my salvation. He knows that God has rescued him from his sin, from the judgment that he deserves. He sings, God is my rock, that unchanging, solid, firm foundation under his feet. And so he sings, I shall never be shaken. Nothing will really shake him in life or in eternity. And because David knows these truths, because he knows he is safe in God, he feels safe. His soul, his inmost being, finds rest in God alone. He's not anxious, stressed, or panicked. He's calm and at peace because he knows he's safe in God. This ultimate security that David speaks of is so attractive. But we might say as we read the psalm, no wonder David felt like this. After all, he had it easy. He was a king. But with all the stress and strain in my life, I can't be secure like he was. But actually, David wrote this song when he was under intense pressure. That's what we see in verses 3 and 4. See, as David wrote this song, he was under attack. And we see that it was a continuous attack. It says in verse 3, how long will you assault a man? And it was an attack from many people. Verse 3, would all of you throw him down? And that David was very weak. He describes himself as a leaning wall, a tottering fence. You know how sharks, when they see a fish that's bleeding, circle in on that fish? Well, wicked men are often like that. When they see somebody weak, they attack. And that's what was happening to David as he wrote this psalm. His enemies were turning on him in his weakness. They wanted to bring him down, to utterly destroy him. And these enemies delighted in lies, the spreading lies about him. And perhaps the worst part for David, verse 4, was their hypocrisy. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they cursed. They were speaking well to his face, but hating him in their hearts. Well, if you've ever been under attack like this from people at work or school, you know how difficult it is. When people want to get rid of you or make your life a misery, it's painful, it's scary, it's infuriating, and it's exhausting. It makes you feel weak and confused. And that's what David is going through as he writes. And yet his psalm oozes peace and confidence. Even under attack, David has security in God. So important to know, isn't it, as God's people, that God doesn't promise to stop us facing difficulty. God doesn't promise to stop difficult and dangerous things happening to us. Instead, he promises to keep us safe even when they happen. So God doesn't promise to stop his people losing their job or their home, but he does promise to provide for us whatever happens. God doesn't promise to stop his people falling ill or dying, but he does promise to bring us home to him in glory. And he doesn't promise to stop people attacking us, but he does promise that even if people attack us, he will use it for our good, to make us more like Jesus' son. So we see that David has found ultimate security in God, even under attack. Well, how did he find it? What was the secret? He tells us next that it's a personal relationship. His security came from knowing God personally. Do you notice, as Martin read the psalm, the sheer number of times David uses that little word, my? I counted 14 my's in the psalm as a whole. And if I read now verses 5-7, listen out for how often that word my comes in these three short verses. So verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. See, David's relationship with God is deeply personal. I guess for many people, God is just an idea out there. He may or may not be real. If he's real, he made the world in the past. I may meet him one day in the future, but he's not involved in my life now. He's just an idea out there. But for David, God is not just an idea. He is a person with whom he has a relationship. God is my salvation. David can say, God has taken my sins away and made me right with him. God is my fortress. David can say, I know that God is protecting and defending me day by day. God is my hope. David can say, as I look to the future and to eternity, my confidence is in what God will give to me. It's the difference between mere religion and true faith. For David, God's not just an idea out there. He's my savior, my fortress, and my hope. And verse 8 opens the door of this relationship to us all. Have a look at verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. See, this relationship with God is not just for kings or prophets or special people. It is open to us all. And David shows us how to move beyond God as an idea out there to God as a person we have a relationship with. First, you trust in him. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. In the midst of life's battles, you decide to trust that God is there and to trust him to be your savior and protector and to trust that his ways are best and to yield your life to him. You trust in him. And then also verse 8, you pour out your heart to him. That is, we don't keep God at a distance. We tell him how we're feeling. We tell him our hopes and our fears. We trust in him. We pour out our hearts to him. And then verse 5, you talk to yourself about God. They say, don't they, talking to yourself is the first sign of madness. In the Bible, it's actually the root of spiritual sanity. Do you notice in verse 5, David is talking to his own soul. He says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. Every Christian is a preacher. And the most important sermon we preach is the one we preach to ourselves as we keep on telling ourselves what is true of God. Why it's so important if we're Christian people to make time each day or as often as we can to read God's word and to pray. And we read God's word so we can speak truth about God to our own souls. And we pray to pour out our hearts to him. Let me ask you, for you, is God an idea out there? Or a person with whom you have a relationship? My savior, my fortress, my hope. David shows us how to begin that relationship with God, how to grow and sustain that relationship with God. As we consciously decide to trust him, as we pour out our hearts to him, and as we speak to ourselves, teaching ourselves truth about him. So David is singing in this psalm about how to find security in God. It comes from a personal relationship with him. And then we see in verses 9 to 10, it comes from not putting our trust in the wrong place. So in verses 9 to 10, David very perceptively puts his finger on two things that we tend to look to for security: people and money. Now, the first one is people. How easily we trust in ourselves, our own abilities to keep us safe, or how easily we trust in other people, our friends and our family, to protect us. And David says in verse 9 that whether people are low-born or high-born, they're but a breath. Our abilities can fail us, our friends can leave us, and our families won't be there forever. There are so many situations where other people can't keep us safe. And then the other place we tend to look for security is money. When we feel under threat, it's so tempting to think that money can get us out of it. And David says that whether our money comes dishonestly or honestly, we must not put our trust in it. Verse 10, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. I think one way we can diagnose our own hearts, we can tell, are we trusting in people, in money, or in God, is how we react straight away when bad news comes. Minor example, this gallbladder thing I've got, when they diagnosed it, my first thought was, who do I know who I can sort this out? My second thought was, can money get me out of this? And only my third thought was to turn to prayer. Now that's the wrong way around, isn't it? It's a battle for all of us, trusting not in people, not in money, but trusting in God. So David says, and this is the key to the whole thing, put your trust in God's power and love. And this is verses 11 and 12. So verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. In the Hebrew language, that's a way of saying, this is sure and absolutely certain. Listen to this next bit. Verse 11, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. The end of verse 11 is literally, power belongs to you, O God. God made the universe in its vast galaxies with his word. He made the sun in its immense power with his word. He sustains it all and keeps it going with a word of his power. He is the God of limitless power who can do whatever he pleases. But not only that, and this is amazing, he's also the God of steadfast love. So the start of verse 12 is literally, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. In the Old Testament, God's steadfast love is his unfailing love for his covenant people. Now, I think we can imagine a God of limitless power. Perhaps we can start to get our heads around that. But what blows our minds is a God who made the universe and also loves his people. A God who's not distant, but loves and cares for us deeply, not detached, but works for our good in all things. A God of unlimited power and steadfast love. And that's why he's a rock and fortress for his people. It's why ultimate security is found in God alone, because he is the God of limitless power and steadfast love. Well, the psalm ends in verse 12, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, this is a double barbed line, a two-edged sword. David is not saying that we're saved by what we do, our good works. No, it's quite clear in the Psalms, David knows he's saved by God's grace through the forgiveness of his sins. What David means at the end of verse 12 is that if we reject God, if we keep him at arm's length, if we refuse to yield to his rule in our lives, if we put our trust in other things instead, well, the result is disaster, spiritual and eternal disaster. But if, on the other hand, we acknowledge God and put our trust in him and take refuge in him, well, the result is security, spiritual and eternal security. Well, what do you make, as we conclude, of David's theme in this great song, that ultimate security is found in God alone? That God's limitless power and steadfast love keep his people safe in life and eternity. You may think to yourself, that's very nice, but isn't this just whistling in the wind? just words to make people feel better. Well, maybe we could say that if it wasn't for one thing. A man who lived in history. A man who showed in our world the limitless power and steadfast love that this psalm speaks of. A man who with a touch gave sight to the blind. Who with a word fed the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish. A man who, by calling his name, brought his friend Lazarus back to life. And a man who combined that power with steadfast love, who lived to serve others, who died on a cross to deal in his own body with our sin. While this Jesus Christ, this God-man, shows us in history the limitless power and steadfast love that David speaks of in this psalm. Do you remember that famous saying of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11? Now, Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Have you ever noticed the parallels between Jesus' words in Matthew 11 and Psalm 62 verses 1 and 2? It is extraordinary. Jesus' words in Matthew are an extraordinary divine claim. Psalm 62 tells us that our souls find rest in God alone. And then Jesus tells us to come to him and find rest for our souls. How can he say that? Well, because he is God. It's as we come to Christ, trust him as our Savior, submit to him as our Lord and King, that we find the ultimate security that comes from God alone. So as we start the new school year, the new working year perhaps for you, where do you look for security? In a world where we don't know the future, where our health is fragile, where our finances are stretched, where we face all these difficulties, where do you go for safety? Don't trust in yourself. We can't keep ourselves safe. Don't trust in other people, in family and friends. They can't do it. Don't trust in riches. We know that money can't protect us. No, ultimate security is found in God alone. So come to Christ and keep coming to him. Trust him as your Savior. Submit to him as your teacher and Lord. Pour out your heart to God and keep trusting in his limitless power and his unfailing love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are amazed that you said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Lord, what a shocking thing for you to say, since rest is found in God alone. And yet we know it is true. We praise you, O Son of God, that you came into this world, that you lived and died and rose again. And please teach us, Lord, as we begin this new year, to find our rest and our security in you alone. Amen.